But the reality is that we all know that from you start work or you go to uni, you're going to come into money.
Mm.
And that's what happens, right? Yeah, once you finish, now you have to go to 18, right?
Mm.
So if you go from 16, there has to be an apprenticeship or something of that nature where you're going to get paid, or you have to stay in school. But then once you go to, from there on, we know you're going to start making money.
Mm. Yeah.
So why would you teach people Pythagoras? And teach people about the plates.
Sin cos tan is so funny.
the plates and the equator and all these things are important. Do you know what I mean? And the stars, but you never taught them something that they're going to need on a daily basis to live.
It's crazy still.
My word.
It's mad that they put it in place and there's actually books there still. I didn't know that still.
I knew there was some movement in it. But also imagine, like, one of the things, as much as I've been in the financial services space, because I haven't been taught, like, from young, and again, I'm not blaming anyone else, because I've been in a space, so I should have learned it myself, but see the whole taxes thing, don't get twisted, it is a specialist kind of topic area as well, isn't it? Subject area as well, but the way I was spun when I first found out that when you earn a certain amount, you have to do a self-assessment. I'll be speaking to people, and they'll be like, it's tax season, boom, boom, boom. I was like, but you work where I work, so like,
what's the difference?
No, like, why are you doing taxes? What's the business? Essentially, is what I wanted to ask them, innit? But I never asked them because I just felt like it was too intrusive or whatever. But like, again, I'm saying that to say, so like, if I've been in this financial space for a long period of time, or whatever it is, not necessarily giving financial advice and not in that capacity yet. And there's still certain things that I don't know. How much more so everyone else?
Or people that
haven't not even touched this space at all. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Which is crazy when you think about it. Because, and what you just said last makes so much sense. Because, again, even if you talk about our community and that, when we come up, the kind of consumerism, the stuff we spend money on, you get straight back into the pockets.
Yeah.
Like, it's so crazy, bro. Like, and the things that we go into debt to achieve. Like, you know when I said the thing about how there's videos out there about, you can use debt creatively and that, but people are using debt creatively to stunt. To appear like they live in a certain way.
But also I feel like as culturally, it's the things that we celebrate, right? As a culture, we'll celebrate getting married. So there are women that have got good jobs, they've bought property, they're doing well, but they'll never be celebrated unless they are married. But there are people that are married and hella broke. And then having kids. You're patting them on the back. Congratulations. It doesn't make sense. We're putting people in a position to fail. Because we celebrate things that actually no longer make sense for us in this day and age. Like, getting married, that's great. If you can find a life partner, I'm happy for you. But to put a pressure on, you've only achieved in life if you get married, when a lot of people are then getting married and ending up in debt, ending up in divorce because they're marrying for the wrong reason. And this big wedding, you know how much people are spending on weddings now? People are spending all this money on weddings to go and, rent a studio flat.
I lie, you spent a lot on yours though.
Yeah, I spent a lot. But it was nothing compared to yours. Like, you lot's venue now is what I spent for my whole wedding. Venues crazy. Now is over 20 grand.
And your venue was brazy.
My venue was crazy.
It was brazy. Your venue was brazy. I can't even imagine how much that would cost.
See that venue, what? That cost us 3.5K.
You're joking.
Venue for 3.5K?
500 people, 3.5K.
Joking. That's it. See, this is what I'm trying to say. But this is
that's
exactly
inflation.
And obviously, to be fair, with that being said, like, 3.5
that time was a lot.
It's a lot still. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's not like, it's not like,
but it's still not, it's still not like now. It's not equivalent to 20 bags. Like, what people are paying for these weddings is
crazy, bro. It's crazy.
Like, do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, the point is that for me, I want us to start celebrating, like, actually, like you said, I've got a job. I'm like, I've got work. We should celebrate that.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got an apprenticeship. I've got some work experience. Oh, we should Oh, I'm doing a course. We should celebrate that. Oh, I'm doing some public speaking. These are things that we should celebrate.
Facts.
People doing stuff that actually is benefiting them and actually going to actually potentially help them increase their income and so forth, rather than celebrate things that are traditions that actually are more like debts, more like actually causing us to have, because now you're getting married in a rush. You're spending all this money on this wedding and then you didn't have kids.
Yeah.
And then you're bringing kids into a negative situation because you haven't got money. Then where else are you going to end up other than divorce?
Now you got
a split home.
Yeah.
And all those people that came to your wedding that were clapping for you, you're not going to see them again.
I think I wanted to ask you, you've mentioned your missus a couple of times, innit? And like, she's a big part of your story, innit?
What would you say,
your stories. Your Instagram stories, bro.
How would you say she's impacted your journey, innit? And like, what are some of the things that she's helped with?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I'll say that my wife has helped me with is just calming down. I feel like before I met my wife, whenever I go anywhere, I had to be center of attention. Like, you would do something, it'd be your birthday party. Why am I laughing the loudest? why am I on the floor? Why have I now grabbed the mic and I'm cracking jokes to the whole? It's not my day. Do you understand? Like, my wife has definitely taught me just chill out. It's okay. It's okay for you to be in a room and nobody's saying it's all right. That's all right. You can be in the background. Do you know what I mean? And so that was really important. And then I think also just, you know, sacrifice. I feel like before I met my wife, I didn't realize how selfish I was in regards to just my own goals, achieving what I want out of life. And I was so focused on being successful and where I wanted to get to that I didn't sacrifice enough for, you know, the people around me. You know what I mean? So my wife really made me understand the importance of, like, what is it? What is a leader? Like, a leader, I'll give you the hardest thing, one of the biggest lessons and the hardest thing I had to do. Like you said, I always had nice cars, company cars. I've had company cars from when I started work, 22. So when I've now gone self-employed, I had a nice car. Obviously, as we started to have kids, the car is not making sense for the car seats. And obviously, she's driving, so she needs a car as well.
Yeah.
Bruv, I had to get rid of my car. I remember my wife had a little A-class, and there was a little period of time where I was saving to get another car, and we had to move in this A-class. And I felt so weak when I'm used to driving BMW, three series, C-classes, E-classes. Yeah. You understand? I'm used to driving the top range cars. But then I realized that if this is what I need to do for my family, I'm a leader. Forget what everyone else thinks about me. My priority is my wife and my kids. And having that actual understanding of what leadership is, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I had to, we got rid of that car and then we got two Astras. And again, I remember driving my Astra, and obviously I got married before a lot of my mandem. So now my mandem are finally getting decent jobs and they're driving nice cars and I'm pulling up in my Astra. And I'm thinking, this is wild. E-man's all the way fell off.
Do you know what's so mad though? Yeah, like during that whole period, I don't ever remember thinking that, you fell off or anything like that though. Just because I knew what you was onto, knew that you, like, do you know what it is? It's kind of like old money. Do you get? Yeah. Like, that's the way I've always seen. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So when it came to all of that kind of stuff, I didn't think that man had fallen off or anything like that. I just felt like, rah, do you know what? Man's just moving money around and X, Y, Z, and do you know what I mean? Making stuff make sense, essentially. So, yeah.
No, definitely. And that was definitely what I was doing.
Yeah.
But I definitely know that, you know, where man before, man would be like, E-man, let me borrow your car. E-man, we're coming to your house to watch the boxing. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. All of a sudden, man's not cool anymore.
Crickets.
Do you understand? and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because what happens is that now you get to this level, and now these men feel so weak because they didn't see the play. They didn't see that at the time I was investing in all of that. Like, now my kids are big. My youngest one's 5. My oldest one's 11. You see what I'm saying? Going to be 12. So,
He's year seven.
So right now, I've got an 11 going to be 12. I've got a 10 going to be 11. I've got an 8, and then I've going to be 9, and I've got a 5. So what that basically means is that these are independent. Mm. Like they're moving on their own. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They wake up, the oldest wakes up, goes to shower, wakes up the next one, wakes up the next one. The eldest helps the youngest with the breakfast. Mm. Two boys, two girls, so they manage themselves to get dressed. Mm.
When did you first start, like what age were you when you first started having children?
I had my first child at 26.
You know, so man, you know one thing that my pastor always says, yeah? Like he's always talking about like trying to have children early, essentially, because of the fact that I know kind of like not contradicting what we're talking about earlier on, but I'm just saying in general, it's another school of thought about having children early. So when you're like in your 50s, like you ain't running around after like a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old.
You got energy to keep up with them in a way.
Definitely. And obviously people is like, oh, man, they're young, but my kids keep me young. You understand?
Yeah.
I understand. Like you just said, why? I wouldn't have known that if I didn't have my... I didn't understand what that was, but I now know they're showing me what these things are. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's like, you've got the kids to keep you young. But the point I was making is that now, like where I'm here and they've isolated themselves from man, thinking that I've fallen off because they've known me to be money man. Like I was, just for context, I was a man that when we go out, I'm buying champagne, I don't drink.
Mm. Yeah, you go wear them glasses still.
Oh, this guy's doing it again. Jeez. Oh my goodness. No, I was just trying to give you the example.
No, that was facts.
Man don't drink, like I don't drink, I don't smoke, don't need nothing, but man was paying for the do you understand?
Yeah.
And then everyone's enjoying and all of that. So obviously there's a reputation, obviously called money man, e-man, everyone's beating you up. Everywhere man wanna borrow money from you, you're that guy. Do you see what I'm saying? All of a sudden now, you got kids, you got wife, you got life. Do you understand?
Things change. Yeah.
So now man don't holler at you. So now that I've leveled up, my kids are big. They're just starting to have kids. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm.
Not only that, now the painful thing is, and I know that I've had this, have them come and tell me, I was just saying, one of my friends messaged me, said I should watch this video. And it was your video. Can you imagine? and it's that weak feeling that we should be, you are now telling people, that's my brethren.
But our
memories are only then.
There are years of memories
that we don't have because you only looked at what man, but you didn't understand that I understood where I was trying to get to.
And so
I understood the sacrifice that needed to be made to get there.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And so it's so important that, like, that friendship, like, what you guys have, like, it's about how you guys are rather than what you guys have. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And so it's so important that you just hold on to that. Because it makes life so much better. When you've got a circle around you, of people around you that you know are with you for you, no matter what, up or down, it's a different, the world is a different place. Because one of the biggest problems is that we live on social media. And social media is a fake place.
Yeah.
And when you understand it's a fake place, like I make content. So I look at social media different from the average person that just consumes content. Because I know that video exists as content. Do you understand? As in somebody, I know that that's being said because of the likes and the comments and what's going to happen and what's going to happen with the algorithm. And so I know content when I see content. So I know that it's not real. But if you only consume content, everything becomes real. And so it becomes so real that you don't have a real life. You only have a life that exists on social media. And so what you guys have is so vital and so important. And again, where did that come from? Church. So when we talk about church, it's so much more than just going to a place to read Bible or do you understand? We're talking about connections. We're talking about real life people. Like I've got my guys from Sunday school that I grew up with that we've grown up together. Where I don't talk to my college friends, to my, I still got them.
Yeah.
Do you understand? We went to secondary school the same time. We was in college the same time. We was in uni the same time. We started work. I've got that.
So the
worldly friends or the friends or doesn't make a difference because I've got my core at all times.
I was going to say as well, like you touched on, even just talking about ups and downs and all that kind of stuff, like through it all, like from the beginning to like now, has there been any kind of like scriptures or anything like that stood out to you that's been like, do you know what, on my journey, like this thing is really like, I've kept on going back to it for whatever reason in it or whatever it is,
even on a wider point than that as well, like to answer that, but even how has like just your faith impacted your finances and the way you look at it and what you do with it.
Yeah.
The first question is, has it? And if it has, how?
Yeah. So in regards to like scripture, for me, like I've always got the, you know, Acts 20:24. So and it starts, none of these things move me.
Mm.
And that thing for me,
it's cold.
Is that's cold still. That's always been me. None of these things move.
Is that Acts what? Acts 20:24.
And it starts, none of these things move me. What Paul's saying is like, actually, it doesn't matter about anything that happens in life. I'm not moved by, you can call me the Messiah, you can call me this, you can cuss me. Whether you talk bad or you talk good about me, none of these things move me.
Mm.
I'm on a mission to run a race and I need to finish my race. And it talks about finishing the race with joy.
Yeah.
Do you know how many of us will finish this race called life and we'll have no joy?
Yeah, bro.
Because we were so focused on the bills, on impressing people and all that. But for me, it's about finishing the race with joy. So whenever the world even tries it with me, none of these things move me. And I must finish my race with joy. If it doesn't bring me joy, like, you know how much times I get DMs, oh yeah, we're promoting this crypto. If you want
to... You must get banned. Oh my God.
And the numbers that is offered is wild.
Crazy.
But none of these things move me.
Yeah.
And when you talk about finances, I remember when I first started, listen, for the first 3 years I started my business, I could have made more money employed. I remember you're used to a lifestyle. I remember I said, how much does it cost to be you?
Yeah.
I had a how much it cost to be me.
Mm.
And my business was really struggling to get me there. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But I understood that I will take less and do less for the bigger picture. Do you understand? And I remember, I never forget this. This happens over and over again. I tell you, God is faithful. Because when you, it always seems impossible till it's done. I remember there were months consecutively where we would get to the 29th or the 30th. And I know bills are coming out on the 1st. And there's no money. There's no money to pay these bills. And all of a sudden, I'll look in my account. Ring. There's the money. Someone, Emmanuel, you referred somebody to me. They referred this. And here's your cut. Oh, that mortgage that you referred over to me, here's the payment for it. Oh yeah, you know that talk that you did? Oh yeah, we finally sorted it out. Here's the money. Oh, we just want to bless you. You came to do it. I remember doing a talk at a church and I did it for free. Did the talk for, I said, no, don't worry, it's free. I'm just going to come and just give this talk. I didn't know how I was paying bills. I don't know what I was doing free for church them times. Not now, you can't book me. Not now, that was then. My level has changed, please.
I hear it.
I have to be clear. All of a sudden, Monday, the email will be, come and give talk for free. Not anymore. But I remember giving this talk for free at this church. And I was like, yeah, I'm doing it for free. And then when I was waiting out, the pastor just wrote me a check. And I was just like, no. Even when he was giving it to me, I was like, no, it's fine. I needed that check. But I said, I'm doing it for free. I know God will make a way. And God is making the way, and I'm still trying to.
Yeah.
He said, no, it's just on my heart. Just take this. And I tell you, I've never missed a payment. Never, because I know my mission. God will always make a way. You understand? Always make a way. And like, even like now, doing the Barclays deal. So some of you, if you're on Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube, you might have seen the Barclays ads that we're doing. Like, think about that. The numbers was crazy. Like that, the deal that I did with Barclays, that deal, the contract that I signed for was more money than I made the whole previous year from all the deals that I had all together.
Kai.
Crazy.
My God who began it, he will accomplish it.
So when you now get to that level where you're saying, I used to be a cashier in this place. When I left this company, nobody cried. Like, I had to change my whole self to try and fit in, and it still wasn't good enough. And then I went away in shame and focused on delivering my way. And now you want to speak to the world, to the nation, to the UK, and you say, wow, amen, we need you. And then when you do it, you say, no, we want you to do it exactly how you do it on your Instagram. We don't want you to do it. We don't even want to tell you anything because we've seen your content.
Facts.
So we want you to do exactly how you do it in your style. And then they say there's no God.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's one of those things where, for me, when it comes to finances, I've always left it to God. Like, God, if, and there have been times where God has told me, go and get a job.
Mm.
And you have to listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you understand? There was a time I was contracting and I was still doing my business.
Yeah.
I was in Canary Wharf contracting for a company. I got an office in Canary Wharf. I got to see clients in the evening, straight after work, in the office. Do you know what I mean? And I was hustling. So there are times where you might have to get a contract. Do you know what I mean? And you might have to work, but I knew what God was doing. And today, like, the level that we're on, look, I got this cut, I got this one stop save. Like, man, come in, they call me the Black Martin Lewis. And now I have my own comparison website. Do you understand?
Hi.
You have to ring for that one. Who told you my business?
So, like, when you think about it, it's like, okay, cool. And not only that, like, the whole aim, grow it. Like, this is man's retirement plan. Like, I'm not talking pension. No, I'm a financial advisor. These things are great. But this business, I will sell it and retire a millionaire and be done. Do you understand? Off of adding value to others. I always tell people, find the problem and then create the solution. And that's all I did. You know what I mean? I found the problem, created the solution, and now I live a life that I tell people, I'm not even dreaming anymore. Because where I come from, I couldn't even dream this far. This is beyond my dreams.
Right.
Do you understand? And so what I always tell people is don't allow your situation to define you.
Because
right now, people are listening, they're saying, right, Eman, you're saying all this, but bruv, I ain't even got £10 in my account. I get paid, I'm still in my overdraft. And you're looking at it and you're defining yourself by these things. But that your story can be different in 12 months' time. Like, your story can be a completely different story. So always tell people, what's the 1%? What's the 1%? Like, what are you going to do 1% better that is going to build up? Because if you could do something, 1%, if you can get 1% better over 100 days, you're now 100% better than where you were before. Don't focus on the, I want to be a millionaire. Focus on, how do I get from £10 to £100? £100 to £1,000? £1,000 to 10? Like, when you start to do it in those, it becomes so much more achievable.
Yeah. And it's like what we were talking about not too long ago, where we were talking about staying ready.
You know
what I mean? In terms of, like, in that period of time where it's kind of like a low and you feel like, do you know what? Like, I'm not where I want to be, but I've got a vision. I've got a plan for where I want to be. Like, what are you doing to prepare yourself for when you get there?
Exactly.
You get what I'm trying to say? So it kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We want to work when the opportunity comes. So if someone says to you now, oh, I've got a contract for you in Dubai, you want, now you're ready to do the work.
Yeah.
But you have to understand, why would I give you a contract in Dubai? I need to see you working for me to say that you can come and do that same work in Dubai. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So I couldn't wait till they said, oh, because basically what happened is that I did the finance content online, it got seen, got a TV show, went into lockdown, everyone's talking about money. Then we had George Floyd and someone black talk about money, and that's how I've blown. Do you understand? If I would have waited to say, oh, they're now looking for black people on television, let me start doing content.
It'd be too late.
I would have
missed it. I would have been at home watching somebody else living my life. You understand? I would have followed them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go, bro. Or sis, like, do you understand? I would have been at home watching somebody else living it. You have to do the work. Like, I had to do the work. I had to be doing the work, so I was prepared for when the opportunity came. Do you understand? The opportunity presents yourself when you're doing the work. You don't work once you get the opportunity.
You just
work harder when you get the opportunity. Do you understand? To take it to that next level.
Listen, it's been a real bro. Episode. So I feel like there's been so many gems,
bro.
And listen, if you haven't had your notebook out, luckily,
go and rewind it.
Luckily, you can rewind still. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
But bro, like, do you know what it is as well? Obviously, like, I feel like we should just go through, like, in terms of, I feel like everyone that's listening already knows about you, innit? But I feel like we should just, like, do you know what I mean? In terms of accolades, and like, obviously you got books out. Like, there's so many different things that you're doing, sort of thing, And I feel like even in terms of the gems that you've dropped, that sort of thing, I feel like there's just so much that people can learn from if they just go onto your platform, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, there's the Eman effect, and I feel like that's the
that's
kind of like brands. The basis, of like a lot of these other brands that have come out from it, right?
Yeah.
And you already spoke about what the E-man effect was in terms of that voice in your head, like when you're about to make one silly financial decision and it's like, ah, do you know what? Ah, now what would Uncle E-man say? Kind of vibe, innit?
Yeah.
And that's the E-man effect sort of thing. In terms of One Stop Save, what was the idea behind that?
So One Stop Save was when you realise that as much as I'm on this mission and I'm doing great work, I'm going around the country, I've gone to South Africa, Niger, done talks all over, like that's great, but it always requires me. One Stop Save was like, how do I create a one-stop place where people can come to save, learn how to save their money, manage their money, and make more money? And that's what the website is all about. So for example, like we've got a side hustle section that teaches you how to make money through side hustles, and we're going to continue to grow that. But the aim is that, imagine now, our plan is to get a matrix where we have like the top 50 side hustles, and then we categorize them by the ones that are very easy to get started and the more complicated ones, how much you could expect to earn from them. And then what happens is now, let's say it's now Uber. You now become an Uber driver. Like, okay, so first of all, you might need a driving license. We now have links with driving schools that can get you a discount for the driving school. Oh, now you need to buy the car. We can get you the car loan so you can buy the car. Now you bought the car. Oh, now you need to insure the car. We can get you the insurance. It's a one-stop place. I'm not just going to tell you go do the side hustle. We're going to help you do it.
Everything
in this one space. How do you make money? How do you manage money? We're speaking about getting our own credit score on there. So you can get your credit score and then also learn how you can improve that. We've got deals. We're going to have a deals section. So we got a deals partner. And remember, all these things just come. The things just started, and there's people just love the concept because it's designed for just working class everyday people. And so one of these people, they partnered with us, so we're gonna have deals on there. So like things like 10% off Nike or all these top brands, like whatever deals are out there, you can come on the site. So it's not just save money, but like actually save money. If you're gonna spend, let's see how we can save you money while you're spending your money as well. We're speaking to partners about doing surveys so you can get paid to do surveys. So we're going to have partnerships like that, so that how can we help you make money, manage money? We're going to have credit cards and loans. So again, you can compare your credit cards and loans on the site as well. Obviously, you've got car insurance, home insurance, pet insurance. You know, we're going to get life insurance on there as well soon. So it's all about just trying to be a one-stop place. All this stuff that I talk about, all these videos, it's like, I can't be everywhere. But if there's a reputable place where you can go, you know, this is E-man cosign. Yeah. So these are brands, these are things that E-man knows that it works before we put our name to it. It's a place you can trust. And that's how we're going to build it. That's the idea of One Stop Safe.
Lit store. Lit.
Serious.
Hey. That's lit store. I have to see kids.
And then we got Belvedere Wealth Management.
So I guess the best way to go about, you got Belvedere Wealth Management. Look at me, I'm messing up. And that's that more centered around financial advice. Yeah, I was going to ask you about this because, is it like in terms of client base, like target wise, like where does that sit?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. So we are black owned, as in all the partners are black.
Yeah,
but we all have different clients. Okay. Like, so like my business partner Jaron, so he's the founder. I'm the senior partner, and then we've got two junior partners. So there's the four of us. Now we've got even more advisors, but pretty much all of our advisors are black at the moment.
I remember Jaron from earlier on.
So we've got Belvedere, and then what now happens is that Jaron, for example, he has more mixture. So his clients are not most of my clients are black, I deal more entrepreneurial. Deal more footballers, musicians, contractors, you know, business people. Because again, I tend to go in my hoodie or more relaxed. Jaron is suited and booted. I'm sure he even wears suited pajamas to bed. He loves it. Like that's his thing. So he deals with more solicitors, doctors, those types of people, and so forth. But the aim is to get to a point where we have the wealth management side, but then the aim is to build it up to a brand where we can turn it into a bank in the future. Do you know what I mean?
And it
can be a bank, and you know, we can really, really build, or if not a bank, a family office where we can build the wealthiest, as well as having the platform for it. So we're looking at right now, like a Vanguard.
Okay, sure.
So we can create, so if someone, because I meet people, they're like, oh, you know, so, if I want to do that.
But sure, just for the listeners, like, what is Vanguard?
So Vanguard's a platform that allows you to invest in funds.
Yeah.
Moneybox is another one similar to that. Do you know what I mean? So what we're looking to do is create our own, so that like, so clients that are not ready to become financial advice clients but want to start investing,
yeah,
we can just get them in straight on the platform, create a platform for them to just start investing.
So with, like, with your own funds?
Own funds.
Own
funds. And obviously some of that funds will be based in investments in Africa or around the
world.
You know, all of those types of things. And I say this and it's like, when I first started, I never thought I could say these things. But you know when you reach a level now that it's,
I could do it now.
Like, there are companies that will tell me, email, I will fund you to do it. Do you know what I mean? It's just timing. You know what I mean? For me, credibility is everything. So
I've got
to make sure these things work. But you get to a level, and that's what I tell people. I was a man back in the day that didn't even have the right trainers, used to get laughed at. Do you know what I mean? I was the brother that when everybody used to go tuck shop, I used to just stand there, bruv, can you buy me an Astro Belt? I don't know if you don't even know about Astro Belts, like the little red thing with all the sugar on it. Looked like a little belt. That was like 5p them times. I used to get man to buy me Astro Belts. So when man go chip shop, I will take the man, these mans, when the chips, I'll be taking man's chips. I couldn't buy chips for myself. I'll be taking next man's chips. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, that was me. And now the world is my oyster. Do you see what I'm saying? Literally, like, we're on route mobile. No, because it's about context. So understand that. Man's really come from nothing. And again, not everyone can do this. And not everyone wants to be a multi-millionaire. So I'm not telling you, be like me, be a multi-millionaire. Because I've met people that's got 50,000, 100,000, and they're happy with life. It's not about an amount of money. But I'm just saying that I've been able to get to a point where, like, in the next few years, I want to retire a millionaire and done. Way before I'm 50. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's like, that's not something that I thought could be possible. And you know, like, so it's so important. But to end it, I know we got to wrap up. I just want to tell you, man, I'm so proud of you. On a level, like, it means a lot to me that I'm outside and I meet people, like young people, when I do talks and stuff like that, and they'd be like, I heard about you in the Triple B podcast. Like, imagine people hearing about me through your podcast. You know what I mean? Like, and people knowing, man, they're always telling me, that you lot always mentioning me in your class and so forth, and it touches me, and I'm so proud of each and every one of you where you are as men, but also the fact that you take the sacrifice and time to create this space for other people that are Christian but want to be normal, because it feels like you can't be Christian and normal anymore.
And
you guys are creating a space where people feel like they can be Christian and normal, and like when I went to your live event, like, and you put mums on the stage, and I was touched. Do you understand? And it's like, I'm so proud of you guys, because I know where you're coming from. I know we've had, with all of you, sat down individually, and we have individual stories, individual scars, individual things that we've been through. We've had moments where it's been crazy. Like, nobody would have signed us up for this. Do you understand what I'm saying? But we're here, so please just keep persevering, keep going, because as much as you're my legacy, like, what you guys are doing is creating a whole new legacy of people, of core people that are proud. Like, my PA, for example, like, for me, big up for me, because she's
big up for me still.
Big up for me, because for me, literally works for me. She's like,
I know you're on my favorite podcast.
Like, she literally works for me, like, and for me is like the epitome of a Christian girl at work. Do you understand? She's young, she's Christian, and she's at work. She works for man, so it's cool. But she's living her life, and she's got all these hurdles that she goes through. And your podcast, literally, the stories that you tell, the things you talk about, makes her feel like she can be Christian in this society because you guys exist. And that's just my one example of someone that I've met personally. Like, there are thousands of people who you guys are helping to say, look, I can be black, I can be a Christian, and I can still be cool, I can still enjoy life, and I can still find a community of other people like me. That's why when you do your live events, they sell out. Because, and then everyone in that room is networking. Everyone in that room is talking, and everyone in that room is a professional doing well, doing their thing, working hard. You creating those spaces. You're creating spaces for other Christians to meet other Christians, like, and enjoy that company and build those connections. so that God continue to bless you. Amen. God continue to lift you up. And like, your sacrifice and all that you're doing, it's not going in vain. Like, you'll reap your rewards.
No, that's love, bro. That's love, bro. Come on, man.
Hey!
Chai, that was there. That's a deep message to all of that.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate you still. And yeah, man, definitely. You know what? I think it was just